A little money here, a little cash there, and might Sears make it to Christmas? It's the Business News Hour for Monday, the 22nd of October. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news today, there's a neat article out there about the cost of dating. See what you learn here? President Trump said today he's eyeing a 10% tax cut for middle-income earners. That, of course, just ahead of the midterms. We'll check on the markets, and also today we'll visit with Senator Kamala Harris of California. What's she doing in Iowa? All that coming up. Also, RDG is planning a special event that looks at sustainable building in the face of climate change. Laura Kennard is with us to talk about some networking events and more. Stay with us. We have a packed broadcast today here on the Business News Hour.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
Let's double your business revenue. How? Arion helps you save time and money by helping you through your employment challenges. A recent study revealed that organizations like Arion can help you double your revenue by handling your HR tasks like payroll, benefits, onboarding, and compliance. With Arion as your HR partner, you'll also experience more productivity, better benefits, and mitigated risk, all while doing what you love to do, your business. Start increasing your revenue. Visit AURION.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tero International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tero. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Monday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Let's get into it. We have lots to cover today. Sears, it seems, is looking for a partner to keep the beleaguered retailer open through the holidays. People familiar with the situation say that Chairman Eddie Lambert is in discussions with at least one potential partner to contribute to a $300 million bankruptcy loan. The story from those who are talking say that Lambert has held discussions with Cyrus Capital Partners. That's an investment firm that holds some of Sears' existing debt. And they're talking about maybe sharing the burden of funding portions of the $300 million loan, which would be separate from another $300 million bankruptcy loan that Sears banks have offered to provide. Sears' survival will depend on the willingness of creditors and suppliers to keep the company afloat. Strong sales in the end-of-year holiday season will be key in determining that, putting pressure on the department store operator to secure enough financing to remain operational until then. In a new study from giftcards.com, we find that single people spend the most money on dating, followed by those in a relationship, with married couples coming in last place. Now, this isn't rocket science, right? It goes to figure that if you're out and dating, you're going to spend more than old, happy married people. But how much more? Well, single people spend an average of $146 per month on dating. That's according to a poll of just over 1,000 people. People in a relationship spend a little less at $139 a month, while us old married folks, we spend only $130 a month. But it's not all bad news for married couples. We tend to spend more per date at $54 than people in a relationship at $44 or single people at $43. So if you do the math, it looks like 2.5 dates for married people a month, or so it would seem. See what you learn here? Well, today on his way to Texas, President Donald Trump told reporters his administration was eyeing a proposed 10% tax cut for middle-income earners and said the plan would be rolled out just before the midterm elections. Just last week, we reported that the tax cuts extended back in December had already ballooned the deficit to $779 billion, the highest in 6 years. And yes, this proposed tax cut would add even more to that deficit, the deficit that at one time members of the GOP thought was terrible. Well, the market struggled today after coming off a down week last week. Stocks ended mixed as traders worried about a deluge of corporate earnings reports coming this week, as well as rising geopolitical tensions. The Dow lost 126 points, weighed down by United Technologies and Procter & Gamble. The S&P 500 fell by 0.4% as a drop in the financials and energy sectors offset a jump in tech. The NASDAQ gained a little over 0.2% as Amazon and Apple rose. Bank of America, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Goldman Sachs all fell today. Wall Street is trying to rebound from steep losses this month. The major indexes are all down at least 3.8% through Friday's close, amid fears of rising interest rates and a slowdown in the global economy. A bunch of companies are scheduled to report earnings this week, including 3M, McDonald's, Caterpillar, and United Technologies. Amazon and Alphabet are also set to report this week. At the bell, the Dow was down and settled at 25,317. The NASDAQ was up a bit at 74.68, and the S&P 500 sank to 27.57. Gold was off again today, even in light of the equities being down at $1,225.60 an ounce. Crude oil gained 29 cents to trade at 69.57, and the 10-year T-note paid 1.19%. Earlier today, Senator Kamala Harris, the junior senator from California, met with the Iowa Asian Latino Coalition. Now, if her name sounds familiar, it should. She was one of the Democratic senators on the Judiciary Committee, which held the Judge Kavanaugh hearings in Washington. Following the public session, she took questions from the media. The first question had to do with Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa. And was she surprised at the tone of the hearing and the way Dr. Ford was treated?
I can just speak across the board about what would the comments that were being made from beginning to end by members of the Judiciary Committee and people who are not on the Judiciary Committee, but my colleagues in the Senate. And there was, I think, from many people, a lack of understanding about the nature of sexual assault cases. There was a failure to give Dr. Ford a certain level of dignity in the process and respect in the process. And I found it deeply troubling. And I will say that the idea that this would be an issue that's only a woman's issue is also, it's misplaced and misinformed. It is an issue that everyone should take some responsibility for understanding. And it's an issue, frankly, that in terms of those people who are victimized and survived these kinds of cases, it crosses lines of gender, race, religion, political affiliation, and so that I feel strongly about that piece of it as well.
The follow-up question was if she thought the Kavanaugh hearings energized the GOP or the Democrats.
I mean, honestly, I'll leave that to the pundits, but I'll tell you what, the conversations that I'm having conversations with people when I walk through an airport or I walk through the lanes in the grocery store, and there are people of all walks, and in particular women, who are really outraged by what they witnessed in the Kavanaugh hearings and understand that whoever has the power will make decisions like those that were made then, and they're energized to get out and vote and to have their voices heard and to be seen. So, you know, I think that the pundits can say what they want, but what I'm witnessing, what I'm seeing is that people are energized and they want to participate in their democracy, and that's exciting to me.
We then asked about a recent poll that had to do with voters' view of who's best to handle the nation's economics moving forward and which party is best at answering the health care question. And if the economy, as some suggest, is roaring, who is it roaring for?
So looking at the tax bill as an example of where each party and individual stand on what makes for good economic policy, there is a tax bill that was passed by this administration and the Republicans that benefits the top 1%. And to the exclusion of working families in this country, the tax breaks that have been a part of this bill and now the law are permanent for corporations and temporary for working families. I believe that part of the vision we need to have for this country is to look at families, for example, that working families are making less than $100,000 a year, and understand that instead of giving under the administration's plan over $50,000 a year to the top 1%, let's give $6,000 a year to working families making less than $100,000 a year, which is my proposal. That families working and making less than $100,000 a year will get either at the end of the year a $6,000 tax cut, or they can elect to get $500 a month, which is their own money, because people are struggling. The average family in the United States is a $500 emergency away from financial catastrophe. And the Democrats are offering things like that. I'm certainly offering something like that. And what we see is that the Republicans, as a general matter, are worried about the top 1%, and they don't need the help. The people who need the help are working families.
And just a quick follow-up question to that. If that's the case, how come Americans believe that the Republicans are doing a great job in the economy?
I think that that's not necessarily true. I think that when the American public studies the issues, when they look at who's doing what, they see that the Democratic Party, as a general matter, is the party of working families and working people. We are the ones who fight for affordable health care, because we know that that failure and inability to pay for health care bills leads to bankruptcy for the vast majority of Americans. We are the party that says that we need to have affordable child care, because working families with children can't afford to work and have their children be in daycare unless we do that. We are the party that fights for a livable minimum wage, such as a $15 an hour minimum wage. This is all about fighting for the economic health and well-being of Americans.
Recently, Senator Harris endorsed Deidre DeGeer for Secretary of State for Iowa. What was it about her candidacy that moved her to that support?
Sure. I actually met with her many, many, many months ago, and I was impressed by her knowledge of the issues. She really wants to fight for a variety of issues that relates not only to what we do around having a healthy democracy where all votes are counted and all people are acknowledged, but also she's a good government person. I like that about her. She wants efficiency and effectiveness in government, and honesty and transparency in government. And I think those are the qualities we need. And I'll also say this. So much of what happens in our country in terms of policy happens at the state level. And so we want to have the right people in these offices who have their eye on that job and want to roll up their sleeves and get involved in the detail. And she's that kind of person. I respect that about her.
When we asked the senator why she chose her first meeting to take place with the Asian Latino Coalition of Iowa, this is how she answered.
Well, this is an incredible group of leaders who are incredibly diverse, but understand that we all have so much more in common than what separates us. And that is something that I find to be really important, and in particular in this point in time when we have so many forces that are trying to sow hate and division among us. Americans have so much more in common than what separates us. And we need to be in rooms like this that really reinforce that point. People from all kinds of different walks of life who want the same thing. They want their children to have a good education. They want to have good health care. They want to know that they can work in a way that gives them and brings them dignity, and that they can retire with dignity. And so starting here at this point, it was important to me to just reinforce, I think, those very fundamental American values, and that's why I'm here.
And finally, of course, we wanted to know if this visit to Iowa had anything at all to do with a future run for president in 2020. She is widely rumored to be interested. This is what she had to say.
I've been here before, and this is about 2018. And truly, what we do in the next 15 days will make all kinds of decisions about what comes thereafter. You know, I'm a true believer. You got to focus on what's right in front of you, because if you don't, you might fall over this focused on that thing down the road. Let's focus on this. 2018 is going to be a pivotal year. There are incredible candidates in Iowa. Very important issues at stake that are going to impact the future of the folks in this state and, frankly, the nation. So that's why I'm here.
Senator Kamala Harris of California will be stumping for Iowa Democrats across the metro and will be headlining a Get Out the Vote event this evening at Forte in downtown Des Moines. Stay with us. More to come on the Business News Hour.